Hey, Brian.
Brian Christopherson.
I gotta take this a tap.
B-Rye, B-Roni. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was bry.
Brian Christopherson, Husker 24-7, on the Connor Happer Show, on 1620, The Zone.
There's a current discussion at the Board of Regents meeting today. The big Board of Regents meeting about...
Love those regents, man. They just do a great job. No problems at all.
About alcohol at Haymarket Park. Here's that one from Amy Just, the Journal Star. Regent Kathy Wilmot does not agree with the phrasing of it enhancing the experience for fans. She wants to point out that it's only enhancing the experience for adult fans. She wants the regents to think of the families who attend these events.
I want that regent to shut the hell up. Sometimes Papa needs a beer, am I right?
I just can't get fired up about this. Brian Christopherson of Husker 24/7 joins us now on the 42 Degrees of Source Hotline. BC, good morning. How are you?
Doing all right. Just stepped away from an omelet at Cultiva because you're important to me.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Back to put that one in the open too. I got to take this. It's hap. All right, so we'll add that
second
one
time,
to the list.
Second time in our radio history that I've stepped away from a breakfast meal for.
Yeah,
a show.
I hate to keep interrupting you during breakfast. Maybe you need to move breakfast time up to like 9, like a normal person.
Yeah, that's true. I wasn't laying on as a guilt trip, but that was what I was doing.
That's how it turned out.
Me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Matt Rhule the other day. We talked about this earlier in the show. He said that they are aiming to be positive in the turnover margin. If Nebraska went from minus 17 in the turnover margin to positive in the turnover margin, so at least 17, you know, better than they were a year ago in terms of the margin, what would that mean for Nebraska's win total?
They'd be at least 8-4.
Agreed.
Something like that. I mean, sometimes we can overcomplicate it a bit. I mean, there's a lot of factors, though, that do play into why that stat is the way it is. So you got to consider that. But, yeah, if they flip that number as significant as it was last year, there's no question in my mind they would improve their win total by at least 3 games. I think the schedule allows for that, too. So that's my initial thought on it. Now, the thing with that is, I'd have to go refresh my memory, but since like the turn of the century, which sounds dramatic but is accurate, I think Nebraska's been plus like 3 times maybe. You know, it's something like that.
I have it tracked back to 2013, and they've only been plus once during that period of time.
Yeah.
They're minus 65 overall since 2013.
Yeah. I mean, long extended frame. I was talking about, I remember like Bo's when he was D coordinator, they had him by the bundle, a bunch of takeaways, but, I've always had that season in my head. Like what if Nebraska, and I like that Rhule turns the discussion as much to the defense as he does when, you know, talking about, obviously the offensive numbers are ridiculous with how they gave it away. But he points out Nebraska also only took it away 13 times last year. And so when we talk about that side of the ball being elite, or trying to make that step, that to me is a big part of it. It's like, can you be that just, you know, not just getting off the field, but absolute game changers where you, you wreck a quarterback, you pick it up and you run it in, you know, that kind of play that just flips the game completely. Just haven't been enough of those. You know, could simplify it down to, I think, you know, there's got to be just more hits where you knock the ball on the turf and there's a chance to get it. I don't think Nebraska's done that near enough, even when they've played good defense. So I like that the conversation turns to both sides of the ball, and I think both sides of the ball agree they can point the thumb back at themselves on things they got to get better at.
So they were bottom quarter in the country in both takeaways and giveaways last year. So they were 93rd in the country in amount of turnovers that they actually gained or forced on defense, and then, you know, the last in the country basically in turnovers that they lost on offense. I guess. It seems like maybe too easy of an answer, but you kind of led me into it. But in the offense has the best chance to get better, right? And some of that is just by like osmosis and luck. I don't plan on Nebraska turning it over 31 more times this year, but like how high can that number go?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the offense is the easiest road toward like flipping the script. You know, yeah, I mean, just from how ridiculously bad it was. So, and the biggest thing to me with the offense is not, you know, you have young quarterbacks. There's going to be a thrower or two you're going to want back. That happens like for your favorite NFL team that you watch too, even if you have a really good quarterback. But the biggest problem on that side to me was just the unforced errors and like, you know, think about the just drop snaps and some of the lost, you know, fumbles. I think it was the Purdue game where like Jeff Sims came in and, you know, he had that fumble and they ran it back.
Yep.
For a touchdown. And suddenly a game that wasn't interesting at all was interesting. It was just like stuff like, here you go. You give Colorado 10 points right before the half and they suddenly are playing downhill when they had no momentum. So to me with the offense, that's the biggest thing is like, eliminate the stupid things where it's just like a guy is in motion. You can't snap the ball to your quarterback, that sort of stuff. And if you can clean that up, you go a long way on knocking that number down. But I do think the defense has to hold up their end of the bargain here because we're talking about them wanting to be elite. They're not afraid to say that. But they also know the tests they have to pass to get there. And if you got 13 of those things last year, takeaways, you know, maybe that's got to be, put it up in the 20s, you know, have one of those years where you're just ball hawks and you get to a game or two or three a game and you kind of just flip the game like that. So I think this is an easy conversation for the coaches to get their full team's attention, which is a good thing.
BC, is Bly Hill the biggest riser of the spring?
I mean, he's one of them. It's not a surprise to me because I think they knew that he was kind of a late riser as far as like his weight and stuff. That's why he wasn't heavily recruited out of high school. He was really a slight kid and, he's had a growth spurt, but he's always had like a long, you know, he's got like a long frame and his long arms and he's just, I think, you know, has all the traits you like in a cornerback. And he's, taken to the coaching really well from everything I've heard, just like adapted quickly and become one of the guys and believes in Evan Cooper and Evan Cooper believes in him. And that's promising to hear that. I mean, you don't want to go overboard, but Tony White was asked how the scrimmage went yesterday. And he unsolicited brought up Bly Hill making plays when he was challenged. So you got to take that and say, that's really interesting information. So not everything that comes out in the spring carries the same weight as some other headlines you see, but that one I think does because of how the information was sent out by the defensive coordinator. So I'm definitely paying attention to that one.
Hey, is that a good picture to you if you're starting Tommy Hill and Bly Hill at corner? By the way, there's a T-shirt waiting to happen in there somewhere.
Yeah,
on the defense.
Works perfectly,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It really does.
Instead of between two ferns, between two hills. Except hopefully not a lot of comedy ensues.
The Hill Islands or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that a good picture to you? Like, do you feel comfortable with those two guys being the top corners?
I mean, I think so. All I know about Bly Hill is that the stuff I learned about him as a younger player and interviewing him, and then, you know, you hear the good stuff from the coaches. So you always have that question that has to be answered, like, okay, how does that look like when you're, you know, playing Colorado on national TV with all those eyeballs on you, and how do you respond to that? Because there have been good cornerbacks who have had good off seasons here before, and then you get them under the lights, and you know you get beat once or twice, and you got to deal with that sort of mental part of the game. So that's going to be the key. Is we'll see like when he gets his opportunity out there, how he handles like when he suffers his first major defeat, you know, as a corner, and like how you come back from it. But on the surface, it's got to be somebody like him that emerges, and it's been an interesting competition, and I think will continue to be because I think there's other guys they like Ethan Nation and Dwight Boodle, but it's going to be somebody who is relatively new to our system as far as the game action goes at cornerback this year, and so it might as well be him as much as anybody, and he's making a strong case right now.
Frank Christofferson of Husker 24/7 is with us. What do you think Nebraska will be? Rule talked about the portal earlier this week. Do you feel like Nebraska's activity will ramp up there at all? Or I guess, what do you think their approach is on the transfer portal over the next couple weeks, especially considering that, you know, they're not going to play their spring game until next Saturday, and then there's only a couple days left to enter after that point. They could still be on the lookout after that. But I guess, what have you taken away from their, I guess, small amount of activity so far and what that could look like in the next few weeks?
I think it is going to be a small amount of activity. I would never say never, as far as I'm sure they have their eyes open. And if there's like somebody who certainly could help fill a need that they see, they're going to do it. But I don't expect there's going to be a lot there, Connor. I don't. I think they sort of have full numbers as it stands. They're obviously going to be some attrition that's going to happen after the spring. I'm sure a few guys will filter out. But it is really different here compared to most of the country right now. Like a couple days ago when the portal opened, you know, in the 24/7 Sports Network, which I'm a part of, it was a big thing within our company. Like, you know, it starts today, guys, like who's coming and going for your team, you know, and all that. And I understand, because that's the way it is in most of places. It's just not the same here in this particular portal cycle as it is most other spots. So it's interesting. Like all my peers across the country with other teams are like making these lists of like the guys, you know, that could be available to them, sort of like we're doing with basketball right now, I guess. But with the group we're covering, I just don't think there's going to be much. Maybe one or two additions are always possible, but I would kind of curb it right there.
Let's go to basketball then. Any thought there? They have been significantly more active at this point. Any thoughts on what they've brought, either what they've brought in so far or seemingly what they're aiming for, which seems to be, outside of one isolated circumstance so far, some experience and, you know, guys who have played a lot of minutes, whether it's in the Big Ten or elsewhere at this point.
Experience and guys who have, at least in their history, they can shoot it outside, you know, when they space the floor, and they just have a lot of weapons where you have to respect three or four guys can hit you from deep. I think you're seeing that. Like the fact that, you know, Andrew Morgan being part of it now is sort of old news because we've moved on to other names, but I go back to a guy like him as we await sort of what Rink does. You know, 6'10 guy who, when Fred went up north for a couple visits with people, as far as I know, he's one of the first, maybe the first visit on that trip, and that tells me something, that he's a guy whose skill set they really targeted that fits exactly right. I think he can be a good facilitator too, probably more so than he's done at previous points in his career. So he's a guy that's really interesting to me. And then, you know, I like Gavin Griffiths too. I know he had an off year at Rutgers shooting it. It was like 28% from deep, but he was really thought of highly coming out of the prep ranks and in his ability to stretch the floor from distance. And I think a new location could be good for him. And I also like that if you look right now of the 8 or 9 guys that are scholarship players that we can account for, you know, most are seniors. And so at least Griffiths kind of, I don't know how much this is worth anymore, but he tips the scale a little bit where he's an underclassman. So I like if you can pick up a guy or two like that down the stretch with their further ads who are like sophomores or juniors, or you know, you have a couple years with, and it's not just one and done.
All right, BC, we'll let you go. Back to the omelet you go. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Brad Christofferson of Husker 24/7. That omelet's probably cold.
Why does he eat breakfast so late?
That's a great question. BC, it's 11:30. You could have that omelet earlier.
Yeah, man.
The omelet's not going to be in prime condition if you get it at 11:30.
Take a break and eat breakfast if you jump out of bed and get right to work.
Once it hits 10, I'm on to lunch.
Yeah.
Give me a sandwich. After 10 o'clock, give me a sandwich. By the way, the Board of Regents meeting has wrapped up. A couple notes from it.
Okay.
The Nebraska Board of Regents motion to sell alcohol at Haymarket Park has passed. It's passed.
9-2.
There was some dissenting votes.
There were.
Including Kathy.
Oh, Kathy.
Kathy.
Get over yourself, Kathy.
Who was worried about the children, of course. somebody has to worry about the children.
Won't somebody think of the children?
Who else will worry about the children if not for Kathy? And also Barb. Kathy and Barb were against it.
Hmm.
But all of the other people were like, yeah, I don't think this is a big deal at all, so let's just do that.
Happens at millions of venues across our great nation.
Uh-huh. And so they will, and people will enjoy some brewskis.
You can get a brewski at the movie theater, for crying out loud.
You get a brewski in a lot of places. You get a brewski at Nebraska Furniture Mart. I'd like to buy a washer, a dryer, and a beer.
Sold.
Done. And they also passed unanimously without conversation. No, there was no dissenters on this one, that Nebraska will name their new $165 million football practice facility after Tom Osborne, the Osborne Legacy Complex. It will henceforth be known as. And I think it seems almost done.
So
I think it's done.
Like for real done.
Did you see the Will Compton videos, Josh? I assume you watched the Bus Boys.
I have not gotten to it yet.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. It's on my to-do pile.
I don't know if they're all moved in yet, if the whole operation's over there yet, but they got to be getting close. I'd imagine that's a summer job. Summer moving.
Sure.
One of the days you're supposed to be working out, you're supposed to be running stadium steps. Time to actually move all the gear over.
Move these boxes in, boys.
That's awesome. That's college football at its finest right there. So it'll be known as the Tom Osborne
Freeland
Legacy Complex. And those things are done. So enjoy your brewskis at Haymarket Park this evening as Nebraska hosts Maryland. Crab cakes, football, and beers tonight at the Yard. Josh will have the odd news when we return on 1620 The Zone.